That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
that
will even up the score. Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, March 9th, 2019, and we do have a full crew this morning. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we say good morning to Brother Paul up in the cool land of Michigan this morning. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And, you know, they say the first shall be last and the last shall be first, so we wanted to say good morning to Tim last this morning because he is going to be first. Good morning, Brother Tim.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we do say good morning to you, the remnant, as well. And we say good morning, Lord Jesus. We gather in the name of Jesus Christ to talk about some current events and just whatever comes up and answer some phone calls and just have a good morning of coffee and fellowship. That is lacking in the land today. I think maybe we'll talk about that a little bit this morning, but before we get any further, let's open with a word of prayer. And Brother Tim, we're going to ask you to open us up in prayer this morning.
Okay. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for another opportunity, another day, another possibility for the kingdom of Christ. And Lord, we thank you for giving that to us. It was a free gift. We know that you saved and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to your purpose and grace, Lord. We just thank you that Christ Jesus gave us that opportunity through his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord. And Lord, we pray that that your people would not waste that opportunity, but that they would shine forth, and that, Lord, they would do their duty and be worthy servants. Lord, we pray you would forgive our trespasses as a nation. Lord, we pray that you would clean our hands. And Lord, we pray that you would rain justice down upon your enemies and make them your footstool. Lord, that you would guard your people and that you would strengthen us, Lord, that we might stand for you and that, Lord, we might call out the workers of iniquity unashamed, unabashed. And Lord, we just not because of the reward, because it's the right thing to do to honor our Savior and our King. Dear Lord, I pray that you would watch over your people wherever they be, that, Lord, you would bless them until their cups run over, Lord, that you would grant them every good thing, and, Lord, that you would grant them knowledge and wisdom. And, Lord, I pray that you would bind our tongues, that we might not say anything that dishonors our Lord and Savior, Lord, or causes a brother to stumble. But this morning, that as we speak about things, that you would impress upon our minds the important facts, the things that need to be brought out, and the things that need to be expounded upon, Lord, in regards to this war, Lord, that's been going on since the Garden of Eden against satanic majesty. Lord, we pray that you would not only accuse Satan, but, Lord, that you would renounce him, and, Lord, that you would show yourself in all your might and your glory and your majesty. Our God, we just thank you for it. We pray that you'd bless our endeavors, and we thank you for it, Lord, and we ask all these things in Christ's holy and precious name and by his blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I got my Bible here this morning. Paul had mentioned this morning, as we were just chatting before we came on the air, about, what was it, Paul, you said, what would it take to make it better, right? Life is pretty good. Hot coffee this morning, good fellowship, a beautiful sunrise, and like Tim prayed, thank you, Lord, for another day, another opportunity. And that's really what we've been given, another day to walk in his way, to serve him in deed and in truth, to sow righteousness, to be an example. Not that we're perfect, not that we've got everything together. I heard a guy say one time, you know, as soon as I get my ducks in a row, ducks rarely get in a row. But we have another opportunity today to walk in his way, to share his truth with those that we see, to pray for one another, and it is a good thing that we get to do this. And had my Bible open to Luke chapter 10 this morning, wanted to read here in verse 17. You know, chapter 10 is the 70 have been sent out. This is the first time. The 70 has been sent out. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. You know, we have a lot of sayings here that we think about and talk about from the Word. I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. And when these 70 went out, carry no money belt, no shoes, whatever. You just go, and they did. And then in verse 17, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And I think that was a result of those 70 being obedient, those 70 going out. And then, of course, Christ gives us this admonition, behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. But even then, as great as that power and authority is, he says, nevertheless, don't rejoice in that. I've given you power and authority, he said, but that's just a little something. He says, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice in this, that your names are recorded in heaven. And that is, you know, when we know that we're in that place, we know that our names are recorded in heaven, it's hard to get better than that. It is. It's not that that's the end, but that's a pretty good realization. Want the remnant to make sure that they realize that, and hopefully the remnant has done what they need to do to get your name written in that Lamb's Book of Life. Anyway, just hit my mind this morning. Thought I'd share that. did want to give a couple of praise reports. Want to thank everybody out there among the remnant and the listeners for the prayers for little Madeline this last week or so. And Jason, I didn't know if you had a further update. You're down there a little closer than I am, but the last I heard, she was getting an MRI and bodily functions were working and things were looking better.
Yep, that's where she's at.
Awesome. Awesome. So again, Remnant, we thank you for your prayers. Continue to keep Jesse and Esther and little Madeline in your prayers, and that everything will just work out. She'll get home and just start to growing and being raised up in a good Christian home. So we thank you for that. And another praise report in Colorado, that seems to be where a lot's going on these days, is that our buddy Mr. Jack Phillips, the Christian bakery owner that has refused to do the ungodly cakes for the ungodly and the sinning, that just all of a sudden, out of the blue, Colorado decides to drop their action against him. And just to let you know, when the Supreme Court of the United States last year voted, didn't hear his full case, but they did agree that Colorado had come against him improperly. That very afternoon, a lawyer called, and basically to entrap Mr. Jack Phillips, to get him to again deny to make a transgender type of coming out cake type of thing. And it wasn't the case of just calling and saying, hey, I'd like a cake like this and this. It was for this reason and because of this, and very explicit in how they explained it out. And Mr. Phillips said, no, can't make a cake for that. It goes against my religious beliefs. And so the state of Colorado has come against him, but they have dismissed their lawsuit just this past week. And I thought it was interesting reading this article in ChristianNews.net that Alliance Defending Freedom, which is the they represented Mr. Phillips in court, said that they don't know why the state decided to drop its case against the Christian baker, although the state has been made aware of the impermissible remarks by those that are hostile towards religion. And that means hostile towards Christianity when you read it in this sense. Because Colorado is not hostile towards the religion of Mother Nature, and they're not hostile towards the religion of Allah, or the religion of Muslim, or the religion of okaying women to walk bare naked around, or at least topless. And Colorado's not against the religion of pooping in the streets of Denver, okay? So it's not just religion, it's against Christianity. So the lawyer goes on and says, we found a lot of additional evidence showing the state's anti-religious, and again, that's anti-Christian hostility. So when they're presented with this, the state decides, at least because of this, to drop the charges. And then, of course, when the charges are dropped against Mr. Phillips, he dropped his counter-lawsuit against the state. And he got back to making cakes, and that's what he wanted to do. So, again, I think that's a praise. A lot of changes going on down in Colorado, and a lot of things going on. But I think for sure this is another answer to prayer. And we have people, there are people of the remnant like this all throughout the country that are standing up to the ungodly attacks, to the anti-Christian attacks, and saying, no, I'm not going to back down, and I'm not going to bow to your false God. I'm not going to give up my religious convictions. And it's encouraging, when we see this in, you know, and in the public eye too. I think it's encouraging to others when they see these type things. When, you know, at least ChristianNews.net carried it. I think it got about a half a day play on Fox, and I doubt that the other news networks carried it. But it is encouraging to see this. Anyway, thoughts, comments?
Well, I thought, and I thought it was interesting, Jason had mentioned that there was some of the counties were talking about filing or drafting, you know, controls for, what was it, gun-friendly or gun sanctuary counties.
Yes, yes.
On that red flag thing. And I seen that they had another county join the, join that. Was it Weld County, I think? That's what it was.
Yeah, the, I was looking at that yesterday, Tim, and the count that I got was maybe 10. They had 9 counties so far, and El Paso County was thinking about it. Their commissioners were talking about it. But at least 9 or 10 counties in Colorado. Now, you can bet, I doubt, and Jason might know, but I doubt it's, you know, the county that's in, that Denver's in, or that Colorado Springs or something might be in. But yeah, the you know, not just the people are speaking, but the commissioners are listening and voting for this, these Second Amendment sanctuary cities.
What's going on here is, you know, Michigan legalized marijuana in their last election, and all these cities are making ordinance that they can't have a thing in their town, which is kind of, you know, the people are thinking it's different. Something's going on in a good way, and you see a lot of these states are getting rid of gun permits too. They're just going, yeah, you can carry it. You know, and all it takes to fix this country is go back to punishing crime God's way. It's that simple. It's just a little too simple.
Yeah, yeah.
So Michigan,
God's got the answers on that.
Yeah, absolutely. There, absolutely. So Paul, Michigan passed. They legalized marijuana.
Yeah, and, wow. Yeah, and that's how I think our female governor got in, because of that too. You know, but and we got a female district attorney, whatever she is. But yeah, there's 53 women in government here in Michigan this year, and that's a bad sign. But on the other hand, you know, maybe not. Because this, whatever her name is, the judicial woman, anyway, she's going after all these Catholic priests and stuff, you know. It's, well, maybe you just need a pissed off woman to do something like that. Who knows? So,
yeah.
Wow.
The Bible says all things work together good, you know, I see it looks like a total state of confusion to me, but, you know, we'll see where it's going. Babylon's going to self-destruct internally, so this is probably how it's being done.
Absolutely. That's right.
Amen.
That's faith, right, Paul? I mean, when we see that, we say, Lord, I don't get it. It seems to me like, how's this working? But he knows how it's happening. I've been there. I've been there before too. And then later, if his plan is short term enough and you live long enough, sometimes you look back and go, oh, well, that was neat. So,
yeah, amen.
You know, that's one of the curses. That's one of the curses of the Bible, when women and children will lure you. And then, you know, and maybe that's what it takes for us, the people to wake up, because they don't make real good decisions. They think money fixes everything. She wants to put a 45-cent gas tax on us right now. Yeah, that'll fix a lot of things, won't it?
Yeah, jeez, oh,
but,
I remember our pastor teaching on that Babylon that, you know, we have our sayings. Oh, we're going to hell in a handbasket, and you know, the country's going to hell, and this and that. And I remember the pastor teaching out of the Word saying, no, but the Word says that we will go to Babylon, and there we will be saved. And so it makes perfect sense. And I like how you put it, Paul, that Babylon will self-destruct. And it sure seems to be doing that. You know, it's not the right wing, it's not the Christian that is out cramming Christianity down everybody's throat, making sure that you know, that it's taught in the schools, and that prayers are to God in Jesus' name are used to open up meetings and all that. See, it's not the Christians that are out there pushing and promoting. It's the left, the Antichrist, that are out there that are self-destructing, that are putting these policies in place, promoting this additional gun control, these red flag laws that are being pushed down south, and you know, it's the ungodly, it's Babylon that is pushing and pushing and pushing and promoting sin and saying, oh, we will have the whatever transgender coming in and reading to your children in kindergarten, and we will you know, teach that there's 37 different genders to your public school kids, and we will do these things, we will take your guns, we will. It's Babylon that's pushing. And that, I think, like you said, Paul, is what is causing its self-destruction.
Yeah, well, if it's not built God's way, it's going to self-destruct, period. It's just a matter of time.
Amen.
That's the problem. If they're doing it God's way, they're still sinning. They're still having their cake and eating it, too, and they're doing whatever they want, and they're mocking God.
Yeah, can't do that.
Well, and it was just like you mentioned that gas tax, Paul, and I just seen something yesterday. I don't have it in front of me, but and it was in regards to Michigan. But Michigan's total fuel tax intake for last year was like $5 or $6 billion. That's with a B. I mean, it's like
They put a gas tax on a few years ago for that specific reason. But she made a promise she's gonna fix the roads, you know. And everybody hates a chuckle, but, you know, quit driving.
Well, yeah, and I don't know, but $6 billion, you ought to be able to pave them about 3 feet deep in asphalt, shouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Wow.
Yeah. You'd think so.
Yeah, and whenever we talk about these people that are up there doing that, like Jason said, I just can't ever help but think of, it always brings Proverbs 4:16 to mind, that where it says that they cannot sleep unless they do evil, you know, and that they're robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble, you know, and they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. And it's like, yeah, we've always got to have a war somewhere with someone, except here at home. We can't defend ourselves, you know. We can defend the world. We can run, they can run our boys all over the country for things. And, you know, they're welcome to spill their blood in some foreign land. But here, no, you know. So I just, it always brings that to mind to me when I see the effect of what's going on all over the world, in the United States name, you know. But, of course, the people that are marching in on our borders and the people that are coming in here and destroying our country and bringing all this disease in and everything else, there's, you know, it is unusual to allow people who are trying to invade you and destroy your way of doing things in your nation. It's unusual to house them and take them into your country and let them live there. I mean, talk about asymmetric warfare. That's a new one. Or maybe it's not.
I seen a statement the other day. I think close as I said it, but I don't know. They want to let illegal aliens vote. Now,
yes.
Can you see what was just said in that word? They're illegal, but she wants them to vote. Now you can tell where her mind is from. I mean, they're coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and that. But that, I'm not even sure if it was her, but that's what was said, something like that. And to see if it's illegal, it's illegal. I mean, but when they get their, they sure against that fence because they want to see this country destroyed. You know, they're trying to take the Constitution down, but they already really took the Bible down in people's minds. You know, they said the law is done away with, and that's, you can take the religion in this country and put the blame right there because they've taken the law away. You know, and
yes.
Psalm 19, I believe it says, this law of God is perfect, converting the soul. That's why we see no conversions. So, you got to know what's wrong.
Amen.
Out in California, I saw a story this week, and it said over 364,000 people couldn't show up for jury duty because they were illegal and didn't meet the requirements to be on jury duty, but the problem was they were all registered to vote.
Wow. Gee, Christmas.
God save us.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of undocumented Democrats.
Yes. Yeah, and you see them pushing too to the latest lower the voting age to 16. And that's just another, you know, another wild leap at these Democrats to try to, you know, to push and promote their, hey, we're going to give you the world. We're going to give you free education. We're going to give you free health care. We're going to give you free money, whether you want to work or not. And it's just socialism. It's the tenets of socialism all over again. And it sounds good to a child, like you mentioned earlier, Paul. The women and children ruling over us. It sounds good to a child. It sounds good to the uneducated that think, oh man, that's what we need. It's like this AOC Cortez. You know, we'll just do this, and they have no comprehension of who pays for it. You know, this like this Cortez AOC, they call her. I mean, heck, what, 2 years ago she was a bartender. You would think that at least being as a bartender, she would understand that you have to eventually pay your tab, right? You have to pay your tab, but no, it just do it. And these
free things for everybody.
That's right. These illegals have you know, they sure believe that. You look at what's going on down at Venezuela. And, you know, they've fallen for it hook, line, and sinker over the last 20, 30 years. It's been, of course, in play for the last 50 years, but especially the last 20. They have been in a downward spiral, and they have crashed. They have crashed hard. They've been without power. Today's Saturday morning. I think they lost their power. Was it Wednesday or maybe Thursday? Most of the country lost its electrical generating capability. And still in the dark, and not a city. You know, we're not talking about like when we've had rolling blackouts. Okay, not a county, not a strip of land, a country that you know the hospitals don't have power. They said they were tending to patients with candles. People here can't comprehend and they need to understand that is what this thing called socialism brings. It really is just communism, but that's what it brings. It sounds good when the people are promoting it. Oh, tax cuts for the poor, and it just, you know, we'll give you everything. It's kind of like when in the Bible when they warn you against, you know, hey, when you hear peace, peace. That's when you better be looking out, because there ain't no peace around. And hopefully
we got them beat. We're living in the dark with the lights on.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Well, and it's no different when you bring all these people in and you have all these, I guess they're illegal aliens, and you can call them disenfranchised people, but whatever they. When you allow them to vote, they will vote their pocketbook because they can take a spoil, and the Bible is replete with warnings against that. You know, I mean, God warned us over and over again about the stranger, and there's a set of rules in there about having those there. I mean, it's not that there's never foreigners in there for trade or for different purposes, but when you begin to infiltrate your society with those people, they vote their pocketbook. And even in this country, in the beginning, only landholders were allowed to vote, you know, and then you had this creep, you know, this gradual, well, if you're a citizen, you can vote. And now we've moved on to the point where
illegals.
They just want to let everybody vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insanity.
Yeah, you can't, if you've been convicted of any kind of a felony or anything, and even if you've paid your debt to society, quote unquote, you can't own a gun or exercise those rights that are guaranteed by God and by the Constitution. But you can come in and, be a lawbreaker in that manner, and those are just handed out to you for free. So, you know, there's, while you're continuing in your in your law-breaking method and in your invasion tactic. So it's it really is. There's such a irony there in the fact that they want to make us pay for our own destruction, because we're supposed to pay those people, we're supposed to support those people, we're supposed to have medical treatment and medical care while that's all going on. And then they want to take away your right to defend yourself, or your ability to defend yourself, that God issued to you, you know, as part of who you are. And it's a travesty, you know, when you see it. I mean, to anyone with eyes to see, I think.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't forget women's. Don't forget women's suffrage.
Well, that's part of the creep too. Yes, I do agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned this creep, and you mentioned it earlier, Tim, about the Colorado counties with the Second Amendment sanctuary counties, and a lot of it is in response to Colorado passing this red flag gun bill, and it's House Bill 1177, and that's where it would allow family or law enforcement to flag someone as a threat and seek a court order to have that person's, if they have any firearms, have them taken away for up to a year if they think, if they believe that the gun owner poses a threat. See, and it might sound good on the outside. You know, yeah, we got a buddy that, you know, he's not doing well, and see, they don't tell you that he's probably up on, you know, 14 different psychotropic drugs. And we're afraid he's going to, you know, harm himself or shoot somebody or whatever, so he's got a couple firearms, we're going to take him and just make sure he gets treatment or whatever. You know, the do-gooders, they put it out just like socialism, where it sounds so good that, oh, and of course they've got, you know, somebody that that lost a family member, you know, to gun violence, and so they tug on your heartstrings, and it just sounds good, but it's just another step towards gun confiscation, because it's who they believe might pose a threat. So, you know, your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law or your crazy sister or somebody thinks, you know, that you might be a threat. Well, then all they have to do is go to the police and say, well, I think, you know, he you know, I remember one time back in 1989 he said this, and that's enough. That's enough from the SWAT team to knock down your doors and take all your firearms. And so, see, up to, I think it's 14 states now have done this. These red flag bills is what they call it, or extreme risk protection order. See, it sounds so good. And when they pass a law, well, this is the law. You have to follow the law. And so that's, I just wanted to mention that, because it seems like that's where all of a sudden these people are responding to this, and people are seeing it for what it is, that it is a big step towards creating lists and gun registrations, like we saw down in Boulder this past year that we talked about, and gun confiscation, coming and taking them, because that's been one of the goals of the Antichrist, the left, for years. And so, and it's not only Colorado. New Mexico, 14 counties are now Second Amendment sanctuary counties, where the sheriffs are saying, you know, feds, pass all the laws you want, but we are not going to go and disarm our state citizens. And I think that it is a good thing that people are, I think you mentioned it earlier, Paul, people are thinking. They're thinking. They're not just going, oh, yeah, that's good. If somebody thinks somebody is bad, then we ought to take their guns away. And if, hopefully they're thinking that if we would start enforcing the laws that are there now, and especially get back to God's laws regarding this, that it would make the difference.
the book says there's one lawgiver. All law comes out of the Bible, and then statutes and stuff that come down are just a break off from it. But there is no law without God.
Yeah, amen.
And that's what we're dealing with, anarchy.
Amen.
It becomes confusion. I just heard yesterday they were talking about the laws that are on the books today, and they said basically that every single citizen in the United States, or person, but I would use the word citizen, but anyways, in the United States is guilty of breaking 300 laws every day. That's how many contrary laws there are. These are people who get up in the morning with no intent. I mean, they get up in the morning, they pay their bills, they go to work, they raise their children. And that's how contrary those laws are to us, which is, you know, I mean, it's obvious. That's why the Bible tells us that God's law is not contrary to us, and that his yoke is light. Is
Amen.
Because, you know, you have the ability to make it work in a harmonious sort of way. And I see these red flag laws. When we were talking about those here the other day, it reminded me of Luke 12 where, you know, he said that, you know, that the five members in one household will be divided, three against two and two against three, and father against son,
yes,
and son against father, and all that. And that's what they've got going on. I was talking to a neighbor yesterday, and he said, I don't understand how these kids can come from these families and do this kind of stuff. You know, as far as in, we were actually talking in regards to some other things, but it'll cross over. But, and I sit there for a second, and I was like, well, for one thing, they didn't come from those families. And he said, well, yeah, that's their kids, you know. And I said, yeah, it is, but they didn't raise them. I said, you know, they sent them off to the public school. They sent them off to daycare. They spent all of their time. The only time they spent with their parents was 2 hours before bedtime, and they were watching TV then, you know. I mean, nothing at all from the parents filtered down or was affected them. There was no training time, no teaching time, no, this is why we do this, son,
right.
This is what our daughter, you know, those sort of things. And then people wonder, you know, they have this cause and effect, like, I just don't understand how the apple fell so far from the tree. That was one of the words that was used.
And raised on a hill.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And these are the results of what we see. We've got a bunch of triggered kids out there. Oh, I'm triggered. So, yeah. Well, and I seen they wanted to, that there was some, and I have no idea how serious it was, but I seen they were talking about passing a bill somewhere. It might have been California or someplace, and they were talking about allowing kids to vote in elections at 16.
Yeah.
That'd be a bad idea, you know. I mean, that's...
You know, I went to a Patriot meeting years ago, and I came home and I was reading the Bible, and the Bible said, I don't know exactly where it is, it says, don't study their laws. We spend way too much time talking about what they're going to do. We need to think about the replacement, because they're going to take care of themselves. I don't care crap what law they make. It's not real law.
Amen.
I agree. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And yeah. Paul, I have to think that there's a bunch of people out in these states that agree with you on that. That, you know, in the sheriffs and the commissioners and the people that are saying, this is not right. This is not something we can follow. This is not for us.
I think they need somebody to tell them. I'll tell you a story I had in agronomy one time. I was doing this thing. I just knew it worked. And then finally I read a book and put it in words. And I think that's what we have to do, is just tell them, because the law of God is written in their heart. This is why I think that people are so antagonistic to you. And you know, when the Bible says you'll be hated if you live godly, because the law is written in their heart. And when you start living godly, you're a bad reflection on them. And they know it down
yeah.
deep.
Yeah, it's guilt. It's guilt because they see it. They see it.
Well, the truth of the matter is you're going to live under one law or another. And if you got that law of God on your heart and you don't live by it, then you're going to have another law to live under. And, I mean, it's plain and simple. It's, you know, it's one of those laws of thermodynamics. It's, you're going to be under someone's control. People don't want to be under God's control. You know, they wanted to be just like all the other nations and have a king. And, you know, it's always been, it's been the human nature of our people. And, so it's, you know, God's way is pretty plain and simple. And, I know we talked about it last week about if we lived under God's law, how much freedoms we would have. Well, people don't want to live under God's law. That's the plain and simple part of it. You know, especially when you got a whole bunch of churches in the land that is all they tell you is the law's done away with, the law's done away with. Well, if the law's done away with, then what are you living under? Well, you're going to live under a law. And so, therefore, they've indoctrinated people, and they put people into slavery, and they're living under man's law.
And man likes that.
Well,
I was with Zach several times. We've spent quite a bit of time talking lately, and it's, you know, and he just, every time I talk to him, he talks about, you know, it's the churches in the land that have got us to where we're at, and I couldn't agree with him more. You know, they haven't taught God's law, and look where we're at. You know, we're getting more laws. We're getting them shoved down our throat left and right. They're trying to take all our liberties. Well, you know, people had the chance to stand up for that, and they had the chance to have their rights, but they don't know that they have any rights. They don't know that they have any God-given abilities. You take the law away, you take an awful lot of other things away with it. You take the liberties that you have of living under that law. And that's where we're at. Pretty simple.
Amen.
You take the foundation out from underneath the house when you take the law away. Romans 13 is the most perverted chapter in the Bible in the religious world today. And let me read the first sentence. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now that's totally perverted in every church you've ever been in. That right there is telling you, Trump, everybody else is subject to the higher powers right there. And that's what that means.
That's right.
Everybody. And America was founded as a republic, which is a land of law. It's not a democracy where the majority rules. It's a land of law, supposedly.
Amen.
And we're way off track. But that's what it means. And that's the most perverted chapter in the Bible.
Yep. I think it ties right in with the apostles' teaching of, you know, should we obey man rather than God? And it's no. We obey God's word and God's law above all, because all are subject to that higher authority, and that is God and His law and His statutes and judgments.
Well, and if you listen to what they tell you in the churches, they tell you, you know, they talk about your relationship with the Lord. They talk about how, you know, you, the love and the compassion and the care, and okay, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those things, but I think Ecclesiastes 12:13 makes it real clear. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, you're talking about the conclusion of a matter coming out of the Scriptures. That's a big deal. When you hear that word, a conclusion, is something to listen up to.
Yeah.
And the whole duty of man, to fear God, that's because there is laws. With laws, there comes judgments. So it, you know, it puts everything into perspective. You don't see people in churches being taught to fear the Lord.
Right.
The other day I heard a guy talking. He said, well, we should get all these girls on birth control pills, and I just kind of went off. I says, that's bull crap. I says, we need to go back to shotgun weddings. That would fix things. People take responsibility for their actions. So that's why I told him. He didn't have nothing more to say. but that's it. Everybody wants to deal with a symptom. The agriculture thing is all symptoms. Everything's symptoms. Just everything that we're talking about is all symptoms of lack of God respect.
Yeah.
You know, even this healing business, you know, I hear these people, they come for prayer, and then they go to the doctor and see if it's true. And I'm guilty of it. Don't get me wrong. I've seen people healed from healing, and they think, why don't we have it? If, you know, the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? We can take this land. It's ours. David did it. He took the whole dang army of the Philistines on. One man. You know, we got the problem. If we talk about churches, you're talking about religion. That's the difference. The church is the called out ones. They're all over the place. I don't just know who they is.
Amen. Amen.
So.
Amen to that. They are. There are those people all over. You're right, Paul. They are. That are the called out ones that are living, doing their best to live their life according to that law that's written in their heart. Saw a thing. I'd seen another one years ago, but saw another one here recently out of Colorado, state wrestling finals, and a young man is looking to win, doing real good, advancing, and he comes up, and they got a girl. This guy's in high school. They got a high school girl for him to wrestle, and he says, "No, that's wrong. I'm not going to wrestle a girl." That's wrong. That's not how it's supposed to be. And he forfeited. And so he moves, you know, of course, she advances. And so then he moves into a lower category. You know, they have it all like that. And so he's in a different part of the wrestle-offs. And they put another girl in front of him to wrestle. And he says, maybe you didn't understand me the first time. No. And so he has to forfeit. So he forfeits basically what was probably going to be the state champion. State championship.
Well,
but he said, "I'm not going
to
do that."
He needs to be raised up.
Absolutely.
He is.
And I don't know who he is. I didn't recognize the name. Don't know him. But you know, God said, seems like He said something about having 7,000 out there that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. And this young man and his family, they are to be commended. Do they have everything perfect? No, no more than we do. But by their fruits you shall know them. And I do. I commend that young man, you know, for standing up because he knows what's right.
Just like Kiplinger said, when a Saxon becomes the hey, you better watch out because when they're ticked, they're ticked. And it takes a while to get them in that position. But we're getting close.
Yeah. We've got that poem if you'd like it, folks. It's right here and the pastor had it on his broadcast rack. And we've redone the rack and added some stuff to it and moved it from one part of the radio ranch to another. But Pastor had that poem, "The Day the Anglo-Saxon Began to Hate" by Kipling, and it is still here.
It's actually called "The Wrath of the Awakened."
Yes, it
the
is.
The name of it.
The Wrath of the Awakened Saxon, and so it's here. If you'd like it, we'd make a copy and send it to you. If you're not familiar with it. It's kind of a shortened version because Kipling was rather wordy. He liked to he sure put it together, and you know even then that wrath and that hate comes out of love. Had the opportunity to share that with a Judeo-Christian this past week that if you love your God, will you not hate those that hate Him? Like David in the Psalms, "Do I not hate those that hate Thee, O Lord?" And if you love your children, wouldn't you hate anyone that wants to do them harm? And if you, if you share one another's burdens and you care and you love your neighbor as yourself, then wouldn't you hate anyone that would want to kill or destroy your neighbor? Just like And you kind of, you know, you see the wheels kind of start turning. The glazed look almost went away, and I think we have to do that. We have to plant those seeds. And again, as you mentioned earlier, Paul, maybe people are starting to think. That's what they need to do: think, not just blindly believe what that sheep and wolves clothing up at the pulpit at their little local churches is spewing forth. But read the word and believe it. Believe the word.
I just gained that group worse than an attorney at the moment. The little twerps. The preachers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even racist, you know. I say different things, you know. They say, "You're racist." "Yeah, I sure am." I says, "You are too, if you had enough guts to admit it."
you can't take a stand for something without standing against everything that's against what you're standing for. I mean, right. it's a logical imperative. I mean, it's just that way. That's, right. You know, so.
Well, you know, anybody with any sense, there used to be, and I didn't know this man, this guy, he would be 100 and something right now, and my neighbor, but he knew him and he talked to him, and he was a black guy, and he was the mayor of Grand Rapids. And I don't know, it was a son or daughter married to white, you know, and he, the black guy was really put out by it. So anybody with an ounce of sense can see that. Because, you know, look at the mongrels you have. They don't fit anywhere.
Right. Yep, they don't.
I mean, if you love your own race, there's nothing wrong with a black man loving black man. You know, and white liking white, it's kind after kind.
Absolutely.
And that's part of that's part of it too.
Yep, you go all the way back to the Haiti Rebellion when they rose up and killed every white man, woman, and child on the island. Back in what, late 1700s was it? Early 1800s? When they did that, it wasn't the original islanders. I mean, heck, they'd had whites had been controlled the island for 150 years, and it was some of the most productive land ever. But it was the mulattoes, it was the mixed, it was those that just like you're saying, the whites and blacks had mingled, and the offspring were mixed, and they didn't fit in anywhere. You want to talk about racist? You go down and to the islands, and you go down even to Mexico and stuff, and the words that they have, you know, whether it's and I don't have it here in front of me. I've seen it before, but the mulatto and the different names they have, you know, oh, this one's two thirds black and a third Mexican, or this one's a third white and two thirds this, and the islands are that way too, and they recognize it, and. It's almost like the caste system in India, to where they do recognize it. And they understand that it's wrong and that those people don't fit in. They just don't. You know, is it anti-Christian or anything? Are they damned to hell or this or that? Well, you know, that's between them and God. But they don't fit in. They don't. It's God saying, do this. And when we don't do that, it's like opening up Pandora's box. You know,
we got one,
and we got it wide open, and flushing it out, and letting anything and everything, you know, happen and occur. And when you have that, God says, "Yeah, let's see how that works out for you." And it ain't been working out too good. And there's about.
I don't want to correct you, Richard.
Or yeah, go ahead.
It'll never be a third. It'll be a quarter, half, or 16th. It'll never be a third.
There you go. Quarter, half, or 16th. You're right. You're right. Yeah. No thirds there, huh? Yep. Hey, I never claimed to be a math major. Okay. The wife teaches the kids math,
well,
not me.
I don't know, Paul. If they keep messing around with this CRISPR and this DNA editing, you know, they're saying. They're talking about all that kind of stuff and talking about Pandora's box. You see some of that stuff going on, these abominations that they're creating in the laboratory. I mean, it's like, you know, God will not be mocked and God won't honor that. And whether there's any truth to it or it's just them bragging, you know, inflatedly, I don't know, but I see that as a, it takes me back to Noah's time, you know, I mean, God flushed the toilet once. It's ludicrous to watch that kind of stuff.
You see reports out of China, they say that they can choose the sex of their child, you know, and determine that, and then and make that decision and make that determination, and it is. It's playing God to a pretty grand scale.
That's going on right now in the dairy business. You can get all heifers, not, you know, they've got sex semen that they're selling, and you get all heifers. So you just, I mean, it's going on in the animal world as we speak. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And I've seen, you know, Tim, you're hinting at this genetic manipulation. I've seen some reports where they've talked about manipulating mosquitoes that are along that same way, Paul. Because it's the female mosquito that lays the eggs and bites you and causes all the problems, and that they're looking at releasing these genetically modified mosquitoes that once they get in the wild, they will have it so they, that the native mosquitoes can't reproduce, and it kills them off. And we think, oh man, isn't that a great thing? And you know, again, when you first think about it, oh, it'd be great to not have, you know, a month of you know, mosquitoes just trying to eat you alive out here. But it's that Pandora's box. It's opening it up, and you know, what's that going to do to the bees? What's that going to do to the you know, to the birds and the ecosystem? And it sounds good. It sounds good, but you know, what's it going to be at the end of it? And
if you want to see something, look on the YouTube. It All Starts in the Soil. That's a really good video. And he actually shows you how agriculture is affecting the weather. You see, they want to pin it on global warming and stuff like that, but agriculture is affecting the weather. And he actually has a picture of the carbon and stuff like that, what it's doing. And see, they're messing with these plants too. They will not even, some of these hybrids they're making will not even interact in the soil, the way it's supposed to, you know, so they can't, you know, the nutrients won't come out of the soil because that plant can't even associate with the soil because it's grown in a sterile condition.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's huge.
Well, and I see all these efforts in the lab myself as you know, just the effort, and they think they have the ability to circumvent God's curse when they don't follow the rules. You know, it's like, well, we'll just recombine, remake, and rematch, and we'll make it of no effect. And it's like, and God says he laughs at their plans.
Yes.
You know, and he must be laughing a lot, because it's like, wow, you guys are...
Well, in the acres a while back, there was a guy that worked on these potatoes, and Monsanto dropped it because of genetically modified potatoes. And Monsanto dropped it, so he found another company that would take it, and he did it. And then he realized how he didn't really fix everything. He really messed things up. And it was quite a, you know, he was an honest thing, and he was... he realized how bad he made things, you know, and this genetic modification that's going on in plants is serious.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're out of time this morning.
Yeah.
I want to thank you men for joining us, and thank you, the remnant, for tuning in out there and on the internet, on the WTWW, on the call-in line, and I want to encourage you to join us for church tomorrow. You can come to church starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. And join us, and we'll have a little bit of everything for you, some good Bible teaching, a timeless pulpit message, and communion, and I'm looking forward to it. So hopefully, men, guys, we'll see you there. God bless.
Rolling, 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 rolling. Rolling, 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 stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and free together, make them health and forever. Knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, stay high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more.
Stay high. Though they're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off.
disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them.